Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
On Capitol Hill, the lines are drawn. In one corner, fighting for children's health insurance, rock star Paul Simon.
I'm here today to ask those of you who supported the veto to re-examine your conscience, to find compassion in your heart for our most vulnerable and sweetest citizens.
Where'd they find him?
Our children.
Joining him, little children.
All right, you know what? Get it. Play Sounds of Silence, because that's really what I'm ready for. When was he last a rock star? Turn this off. When was he last a rock star? Paul Simon? The Democrats are dredging up people we haven't heard from since 1971 now on children's health. It's getting more comic. I'll tell you, I couldn't be in a better business. I am actually glad that affirmative action policies drove me into talk radio 15 years ago. Because I couldn't imagine having such a good time doing anything else. It's impossible to believe the world could be this entertaining. The Democrats are that out of touch with reality that, A, they would reach down into the past and go to a guy like Paul Simon, number one. And number two, what does he know about children's health? I say to myself as I sit here watching the world, you know, spin around me. That's not the biggest story. It's just one of the preposterous stories that we're looking at here. There you got Bill Gates, for example. Richest man in the world, or allegedly, I don't know how much richer you can get. He's talking about immigration, Bill Gates. Bill Gates wants open borders so that he can get cheap labor. Now, if Bill Gates really wanted technology graduates, he would fund the Bill Gates Institution of Technology. He would reach down into poor neighborhoods. He would train the kids how to do something other than shoot up and shoot each other. And he would train them to be, you know, computer literate. Instead of watching, you know, XTube and pornography and whatever, they'd learn how to work for him. I don't believe this rubbish that he can't find American workers. I think it's still a matter of wanting B-1B visas so that he can make, you know, billions more. But again, yeah, I don't need your call on this. I'm just looking at the landscape of the world. I have a curiously popular radio show, according. It's funny, the National Review attacked me today, and what I find interesting about it is that they used a Jew to attack me. I mean, it's unbelievable to me how low these louts, these thugs will go to attack me. You know, the conservative media has been moving more and more to the left. O'Reilly, for example, has become a center-left commentator, still disguised as a conservative. Wallbanger, to the left of center. Fox News, center-left. National Review, once a great organ under Bill Buckley, once it was taken over and hijacked by these bullies. I don't know what they're thinking. Their circulation is low. Which conservative media outlets have you stopped reading, watching, or listening to because they become too liberal, is what I'd like to know. You know? Then the National Review defends Ann Coulter. And, you know, the National Review was once intellectually advanced. It's now the intellectually deficient organ of the Sons of Hibernia, who have eaten too much corned beef and pastrami from Katz's Delicatessen. Affirmative action destroys America's police. That's right. Are police today the same as they were 10 years ago? Have police become more brutal than they used to be? The Gottbaum death, tasering, spraying, pepper spray in a black child's eyes. Did you see that one last week in Florida? And what was the law she violated? The curfew law? The thug sprayed pepper spray in her eye? This poor girl was screaming, "I didn't do anything, sir. Please let me go." Do you think it's affirmative action that's responsible for increased police brutality and a decline in professionalism? What do you think accounts for the decline in police across America in the last few years? Those are some, I mean, those are some of the stories I'm interested in. Truthfully, I don't expect you to call about them because you're not really that interested in them. I can sense that the tent is not that full today. I don't know what it is in America. I have an intuitive sixth and seventh sense here about talk radio. I literally have a mindset image of this huge tent, like a revival tent. And I can tell when you're packing in before the show begins. I can tell when you're not packing, you know, dying to get into the tent. Right now, there's a small crowd in the front rows, the diehards. The rest are milling about outside, smoking, you know, talking about everything else. They're not interested in politics. America has tuned out of politics. They see one fraud after another telling us how they're going to clean up Washington. And then they see one fraud after another telling us that it's time for a change. We see one fraud after another telling us it's not time for a change. And then another fraud telling us it is time for a change. You know, it's unbelievable to me. Nancy Pelosi was supposed to bring honesty to government. And instead, they brought bigger earmarks, meaning pork barrel spending. I don't know why they call it earmarks, pork barrel spending. Has anyone noticed that the Hitler of Iran looks more and more like Hitler? I was shocked. The newest picture that came out with him and Putin, which is really amazing. Putin is now stabbing us in the back. We've seen this coming for quite a while. Only George Bush didn't know it. He was the only one who didn't know that Putin was not to be trusted. He went to Russia 2 years ago and came back and said that he looked Putin in the eye. He said, I look right in his soul and he's a good guy. Rim shot. Putin, lay off my buddy. Putin visits Iran's Hitler, offers veiled warnings against the United States. But the little Hitler from Iran, you got to admit, he's becoming more and more. He looks like Hitler. If you were to paint a little Hitler mustache on him, he'd look just like him. He's becoming, it's like the portrait of Dorian Hitler here. For those of you who know Dorian Gray was, most of you don't know who Dorian Gray is. So what is it you want to talk about? You know what I think I'm going to talk about instead of any of this rubbish? World events. I don't really care about world events. You know why I don't care about world events right now? I'll tell you why. I have a reason for it. The more I watch these liberal morons appeasing the Islamo-fascists, appeasing the junkies, appeasing the perverts, the more I realize that we're going to come to an eventual horrible end in this country. And once that happens, everything is going to change instantaneously. And maybe not for the better, by the way. It could get much worse. I had the weird thought before the show as I was making tea that there's a huge battle brewing on this globe between the patriarchies and the matriarchies. And make no mistake about it, this country has become a matriarchy, not a patriarchy. Even the men have become somewhat feminized. The powerful men who run this country all act as though they're feminists in order to appease the matriarchy that is really right underneath the surface. But make no mistake about what I'm about to say to you. Iran is not a matriarchy. Syria is not a matriarchy. Russia is not a matriarchy. China is not a matriarchy. North Korea is not a matriarchy. They are clear, old-line, retrograde patriarchies, and they're gunning to destroy us. How about your good friend Chavez in South America? Matriarchy or patriarchy? Girls, raise your hand. It's a patriarchy, and they smell weakness. They know that we're as weak as a psychotic school mom in Pittsburgh in this country, ready for a fall. You know? I was thinking about that, but I was thinking about other things, too. Such as the SP classes I went to when I was a youth. I touched on it yesterday. I didn't get to it. I think I'm going to get to it right now, which is, as I told you, I skipped a grade. We did seventh and ninth. We skipped the eighth in a thing called SP, special progress, not special person, okay? So if a kid did fairly well on certain tests, they put you in an SP class so that you'd be around other smart kids and you wouldn't have to be slowed down by other kids. Today, they don't have that. They only cater to the moron, the pervert, and things of that nature. They have special classes. The kids who can't speak English get English as a second language. We burn up hundreds of millions of dollars on kids who refuse to learn English by wasting money on teaching them in their own language. Absurd. Absurd. But where are the classes for the kids who are extra bright? I don't know where they are. What do you do if you have an extra bright kid and you can't afford private school? You know that a kid who's extra bright today is actually ostracized in public school and made to feel like weird for being too smart? Did you know that? They either dope them up and put them on Ritalin, or they ostracize them for standing out and making the other kids feel stupid. So I wanted to talk about that. We can talk about patriarchy versus the matriarchy. and how we in America have become a clear matriarchy, if not in physical form, then certainly in psychological form. The political structure is clearly right now a matriarchy, and the enemies of this country and the enemies of freedom, in fact, are all vile, vile old world patriarchies. Have you noticed that? They have no respect for us because they know that we're weak-kneed and ready to fall, as I said to you, like a school mom in Pittsburgh after too many cookies at a school board meeting. So, though, I mean, I'm here than there today. I'm not that focused. I don't want to be that focused. Here in San Francisco, rumors are swirling that they're about to create a place for junkies to shoot up under the supervision of trained personnel, whatever that means. On Thursday, there's going to be an all-day symposium, whatever that means, co-hosted by the city of San Francisco's Department of Public Health, which doesn't exist. San Francisco does not have a Department of Public Health. We have a Department of Public Filth. But the people who run the Department of Public Filth are going to examine the idea of creating safe injection centers, they call them, where junkies can bring their drugs, shoot up, and leave without fear of arrest. I think that is just so way cool and so progressive. I can't wait to see those injection drug centers. And I think that they should first be set up outside Dianne Feinstein's house in a portable injection drug center. Nancy Pelosi may want an injection drug center, a portable unit outside her front door. And certainly Mayor Gavin Newsom will want a portable injection drug center. We already have them, by the way, but they're not portable. They're basically called toilets. I'll be right back. Savage. Beauty of talk radio, I got to tell you the beauty of this medium. The beauty of it for me is that, look, I was a writer for 25 years and a consultant, and I mainly worked alone, you know, out of my house. I worked out of my house when it was considered very odd. I'm talking about going back to the 60s. And, you know, there's ups and downs, but nothing's changed in my life, actually. The success is big. The audience is large. The website's good. But fundamentally, I'm still basically at home with a cup of tea and a dog. A lot of the time. And I suppose that's the way, you know, I wanted to be. I wanted to be a loner. Just the way I am. I mean, I'm that kind of nature. I don't have the patience for people. And I'm not putting people down in a direct way, just an indirect way, an offhanded way. Who has the time to talk to the average person about anything? There's no point to it. This is like Wayne's World. Talk radio is like Wayne's World, especially when you have home studios, and I have four of them. Any day, I don't know where I'm going to be the next day. I move around, and I move around for reasons of boredom and security. I don't know which place I'm going to sleep in or broadcast from. I do that. It keeps me occupied, you know. But basically, it's me and the dog and the microphone. And so what you're getting is sort of an unfiltered view out of my head of a fairly intelligent man who's done a lot on Earth, who is looking at the world and sharing his opinions with you. Really, that's what it comes down to. What is talk radio? It's one man's opinion. What is it, really? Now, the reason it survives with all the blogs and the internet, well, there are many reasons, because there's no voice attached to the blogs. Number one, there's no personality. You can't really debate. You don't establish a bond with a blogger in the sense that there's no person. There's a person here. At least you think you know this person. Love him or hate him or whatever. You're not indifferent to this person if you come to listen to the show, as millions have on a daily basis. I'm a little off the topic right now. I guess I'm getting to something. But there's an organic development through the years with a talk show host. I've seen it myself, even with people I didn't particularly care for on radio. When I would come back to San Francisco, I would sometimes ask the cab driver, turn on X and X show, and because he was on in that slot. I knew I was home. It was like a guy you knew was there in the back, you know, the back of your head. So I have become that for certainly more than San Francisco. Even liberals love this show, even though they don't admit it to their friends. And they're afraid to admit that they agree with many of the points that I make. They're just afraid they'll be ostracized. But, you know, that's a mark of being a good German and a coward. That's why the country continues to decline. That's why the sadomasochists run the city. That's why they're now talking about setting up junkie shooting galleries paid for by the taxpayer. It gets sicker by the day. What I find utterly amazing is that this a city funding an injection drug center, meaning a place for junkies to shoot up, it's been tried, you schmucks in San Francisco, you backwards schmucks who think you're so progressive, you putzes and you schmucks. Go to Norway where they had it for 20 years and ask the fathers of the dead boys and girls who shut up because they were so progressive. You see, they've gone through progressivism in these countries. And what they got for it were dead children and a wave of Islamism that they don't know how to control. You, I'd like to put my hand through the microphone and grab you and shake you. You stupid backwards morons. Everything you think is so progressive is really old. It's been tried. And they've given it up in those countries. They understand that these were failed social movements. But no, you haven't experimented with the worst of them yet. I saw another story that I couldn't believe. The U.S. Marines are setting up a high school in Chicago. Well, the liberals are going crazy.
Oh, should a high school be used for recruiting? It's awful to set up a high school to recruit because it targets the poor, mainly the poor, the unfortunate.
So let me see if I understand this correctly. Libs see no problem in setting up gay and lesbian high schools, high schools for Arabs, high schools for perverts, but there's a problem with setting up a high school for kids who may want to become a U.S. Marine? Don't you understand that liberalism is a mental disorder that is going to kill all of us? Don't you understand that it's a mental disorder? It was my previous bestseller, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, which is why I am hated by everybody in the media because they qualify for entry into that book. Now, of course, there's another reason. If you look into the political zoo, the reason I'm really hated by the mainstream media, including Fox News, is because in the political zoo, I dared skewer not only liberals, but also so-called conservatives. Lumped in with Kofi Annan, Alec Baldwin, Harry Belafonte, and Bono, Barbara Boxer, was George Bush. Next to Jimmy Carter and James Carville and Hugo Chavez was Dick Cheney. Next to Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton was George Clooney and Katie Couric and Howard Dean and Maureen Dowd and Dianne Feinstein. But in there also was Rudy Giuliani. Rush Limbaugh was skewered and turned into an animal. So all of the icons of the Democrat and Republicans, whether they be in the media or in politics, were in essence satirized in the political zoo. And so consequently, I'm persona non grata, which is exactly where I want to be all of my life. Never, ever welcomed into any of these places, because then I will become compromised just like them. And so when you get a vile skank like Ann Coulter and you support her, what does that make you? It is the Savage Nation. Favorite time of year, autumn. Rainy. West Coast rainy. I predicted it was going to be the wettest winter on record. Everyone I said it to in August said I was crazy because the woodchucks, they said. Remember I turned that on. You remember I said that in August it was going to be the wettest, one of the wettest winters. Okay, I'm not going to like go for broke here. They said, well, no, the Farmer's Almanac said it's going to be mild on the West Coast. I said, no, I have my own way. I'm very good with animals. I'm very intuitive. Because I'm a loner and like I built model planes as a kid. Let me explain it to you. I've always been introverted. I could be very extroverted. How do you do radio if you're not extroverted? I could be in front of an audience with, you know, thousands of people and not, you know, shrink. But I prefer being withdrawn. And I've decided I don't do any public appearances. People do it who need the money or the acclaim or they're insecure. I don't know what it is. Probably a combination of the above. They need the adulation. Adulation is nice, but at a certain point, I'd rather just hang out on the hill with the dog. Or down at the water or whatever, and just ponder, you know, the whole deal. The whole deal. It's like watching this world heading into a brick wall. As sure as I'm sitting here, we're heading right into a brick wall. And once, you know, once Humpty Dumpty falls off this wall, I don't think we can put him back together again. So I told you at the beginning of the show, it's like the matriarchy. We are a matriarchy. Even the men who speak, the men in power, all act like they're afraid of the women. And they're appeasing always some imaginary hag from the Upper East Side with a big hat who's long dead. They're afraid of her. They're always looking over their shoulder at some clipped-haired, mean-faced monster who's running something behind the scenes. So we're facing the most vile patriarchies the world has ever seen, and we're going to come to a loggerheads with them, and God only knows what's going to happen at the end of that road. And I'm just watching this slow-motion train wreck, so to speak. Is what I'm watching. The other day, I got to tell you a little story. I'm off the topic, but it's a rainy day on the West Coast, and I love rain. It soothes every bone in my body, you know? Well, is it every bone? No, actually, I have pain in my hands, and it soothes every muscle in my body. Well, every sinew in my body, but not the bones. I have a place in the country that's 1 acre. Let's put it to you that way, on a hilltop, and there's nothing around it. And it's gated all around it, like, you know, gates, blah, blah, blah. So there was a deer on it. I came up there like over the weekend. I don't go there too often. And there's some, like a young buck got over the fence. I guess he was trying to get the last of the summer fruits. And I don't blame the poor guy, but that's what he was doing. He must have smelled it and leapt, and there he was, and he couldn't get out. He could get in, but he couldn't get out. So I come up there, and I saw him through the corner of my eye, and I sort of, I shoot him to one side to get him up to the top left, because I knew he couldn't get out there. And then I started to, like, herd him to the other side. And he went to the other side. He hopped over, way over to the other side of the acre, where I have another gate that's locked. And then he was hiding in the bamboo brush. There's a big stand of bamboo up on the top right. So I figured, how am I going to get him to go out of this gate, which I opened? Simple. I took apples from my tree, which I'd put in the refrigerator like last month because they were last apples. I opened the gate, propped it open. I put the apples there, and I walked all the way down to the house, looked up. And as though he looked at me, the deer looked at me as if to say thank you, went to the fence, picked up an apple, and left. I felt very happy for him. So what I'm getting at is I have a knack with animals, and I have a knack with natural things. I'm a very natural person, deeply tuned into nature. And as a result, nothing. There's no result. There's no point to the story. There's no point. There's no punchline to that story. Maybe there is. Maybe there is something. Maybe I'll set up something for deer or something. I don't know, one of these things. No, you know, but just as I can track a deer and free him, I'll tell you, if it all comes down, I can also probably hunt one pretty easily on that property. So you could say, well, there's an ulterior motive. I don't know. Whatever you want to say is okay by me. It's amazing when you consider what an audience is. An audience is filled with doubting Thomases who are always looking to catch you, saying something that they can say aha with. But that's to their loss. You know, I mean, what are they going to gain something by it? Aha-ing themselves. They think they're going to pin me to a wall. The audience is big. The books sell like crazy. No one ever heard of these people in the blogs. So it doesn't matter what they do. Now, here's the shame of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He banned the words mom and dad. Schwarzenegger, as you well know, is a stealth, far-left Democrat. And mom and dad, as well as husband and wife, effectively have been banned from California schools under a bill signed by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who signed it last night. Public schools have now catered to the homosexual mafia in a way that families could never have believed possible as near as a few years ago. If it was a pure liberal governor, he never would have gotten away with it. But because it's a Schwarzenegger, Arnold Schwarzenegger got away with it because he pretends to be something he never was. And remember who his wife is. She's from the Kennedy clan. And consequently, they're owned lock, stock, and barrel by the homosexual mafia. And now people are talking about pulling their children out of public schools in California because it's unsafe for families. California public schools have become absolutely unsafe for normal children. He has signed a law outlawing terms perceived as negative to homosexuals. Karen England, executive director of Capital Resource Institute, said, "We are shocked and appalled that the governor has blatantly attacked traditional family values in California." You got to read this whole story. It's from WND up on michaelsavage.com. And I don't have the time nor the inclination to read every word of the story, but you got to see what's going on here. This state is getting sicker and more mentally deranged by the day. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. We're talking about matriarchy, patriarchy, this, that, the other thing, cops, anything else that starts with a C we can talk about, big C, little C. So let's start with WTNT. Peter, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, hi. Just a couple things. First, please keep going with what you're doing. We really, really need it as a nation. So that's one thing. And the other thing, the point you brought up about matriarchy and patriarchy is very interesting because there's a couple things you have to remember. A matriarchy, in its pure form, is perfectly capable of defending itself. Look at the Soviet Union and Germany, World War II.
Sir. Was Stalin a cross-dresser? Am I missing something?
What?
You just said that Germany and the Soviet Union were matriarchies during World War II. You mean Hitler and Stalin were cross-dressers?
No, Michael, what I said was Germany was a patriarchy, and the Soviet Union reverted back. That's why they call it the Great Patriotic War, to its old self for that time.
Wait, sir, come on. I don't want to disagree with you just for fun, but You're arguing that a matriarchy is potentially as tough as a patriarchy, but your examples don't work. You're saying the Soviet Union in World War II was a matriarchy?
Soviet Union was reverted back. They called upon the great patriotic spirit of the Russian motherland. It was absolutely, at that time, and still is, a matriarchic society.
Sir, Stalin was Russia. Stalin was Russia. He was a monster, and he was a patriarch.
Was, but he had to revert back for survival purposes for the country to the old Mother Russia. That is
okay. Well, you're using a phrase that wasn't... The phrase motherland was wonderful, as opposed to Hitler's fatherland, is what you're saying. However, they were both patriarchies. They were not matriarchies. But if you want to follow your argument, let's deal with countries that were run by women, that were tough. Can you think of one?
Sure. Actually, there's quite a number of them. In fact, some of the prototype European societies during and at the end of the Roman Empire, such as the Visigoths, and some of the most brutal examples you could name, were absolutely through and through matriarch societies.
Wait a minute. The last time Israel had a pair of you-know-whats were when Golda Meir was prime minister. Since then, Israel's been run into the ground by a group of deballed men. Compromised, corrupt men have ruled Israel ever since. Consequently, Israel's tottering on the brink of a disaster.
Right. And what I'm saying is not to confuse a matriarchy with a perverted form, a radical feminism, which is a subset of liberalism.
All right. Now I see where you're coming from. Now I understand what you're trying to say. Right. A pure matriarchy is certainly capable of self-defense. We understand that the female lion is the hunter. I understand all of that. But we don't have a pure matriarchy in the wings. What we have is radical feminism in the form of Big Sis is a Miss, Hillary Clinton, and her girlfriends.
Basically a subset of the illness called liberalism. It's totally a subset. A matriarchy in its pure form is very...
All right. Capable. I understand your argument, and I thank you for the call. Took me a while, but that was okay. What I was getting at earlier, and the show's going to be in pieces today because I think that's how I feel. I have all these stories, all these ideas, rather, and none of them are like coalescing into a single theme like yesterday with the Turkey-Armenian thing, which I'd rather not revisit. I made my point, and we'll see where it ends up. So the radio show, I was saying, is like an organic thing. It's an audience. It's a relationship, you and I. Some of you have been listening from day one in 1994, when I was a fill-in, all the way till now when it's a major national show. Others are new and they don't know what you're listening. You don't know what you're listening to, but you're sort of intrigued because it sounds different than other shows. But nevertheless, what I'm getting at is this, and I don't even know how to phrase this in a certain way. I'm trying to say something, is that we've grown together. I have had kids on this show starting to listen when they were 10 who are now 25 or 24. I've had people who were children when they started listening who grew up, became somewhat conservative because of me, who are now family-oriented people, got married. I've had people who met on this show and got married, met through the show way back when. And what I'm getting at is almost hard to say, is that I'm like a member of your geography. Michael Savage is a piece of your geography, your mental geography. Whether you like my politics or not, if you're listening on a regular basis, it's because I'm part of your mental geography. I'm there to stay. And you're always going to listen to this show. You're just addicted to it. You may not even know why, and I'm not here to sell you on why or why not. But I'm getting at something else, which is that we're growing older together. I and the audience am growing older together. You know, 15 years is a very long period of time in a person's life. And what I'm moving towards is something else. I'm probably going to get old and sick on this show. And possibly that'll be it. But I'm actually going to include you all the stages of my life from here on out. It's going to be like, well, here's what happened as though I know you. I'm not going to complain to you and cry on your shoulder. But I'm telling you that just as any other family member will occasionally let you into what's really going on, I'm going to let you into what's really going on. And what's really going on right now is minor, but it's not fun. And what I'm saying to you is the time is going to come when I'm not going to be on this show. I will not be here one day. I don't know when that is. It's in the big guy's hands, not in my hands. And what I'm telling you is, after this, when there's a vacuum created with a person like me, it's a vacuum that you're going to feel a long time. I can guarantee it. Now, having gotten that off my why am I talking about this? I have a feeling I want to tell you why. Things are changing in my body, almost as though I'm an observer of my own physicalness. And something funny happened the other day. I know I injured my left hand, or at least I thought I did, and I figured, it's nothing. You know, the thumb, the opposing thumb I was joking about. I know I strained it, I thought I did. But it's gotten, like, much worse. I'm saying, maybe it's not a strain, maybe it's this. The other day I went to the pistol range to requalify for my my permit. And a funny thing happened. I shot a variety of handguns, including a beautiful weapon, a Smith & Wesson Magnolite. It's the lightest gun you've ever held in your hand. The five rounds weigh almost as much, if not more, than this gun. But the kick on it is pretty amazing. And, the instructor was great. He said, okay, stand in this stall. And he says, keep that gun down. He said, when I ask you to move over to this one, make believe a guy's coming at you with a knife, and just pick that gun up and fire with one hand repeatedly in the center of that target. Don't even do ready, aim, fire. You know, that kind of training, like police training. Well, I did that. It was like back and forth, that and an old Combat Commander 45, which is my favorite gun that I have since 1980. And then I bought a new gun, which I'm not thrilled with. It's not bad, but it's a double action. I'm not happy with it. It's a little too complicated because I'm used to the Colt 45. This is I forget the name of it. I'm confused right now with the name of the gun. But I don't like the complexity of the action on that gun. It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous weapon, beautifully machined. It's German, quite expensive, but I prefer the other. But my hand that I shot with, I never had this happen before, is hurting me. So I'm saying, well, that's terrible. Just from shooting a gun, your hand hurts you like some old guy? Yeah, my hand's hurting me. So then that day I went out on the boat alone, 19-ton boat, which I can drive very well in a decent wind. I don't care. It's a power boat. I got a bow thruster. You can't do that. Don't go out on the boat. But meanwhile, coming back, I had to tie the thing down, as you do with boats. The same thing has been going on since Neolithic times, the way you always did boats, which is rope it to the dock after you get back. Nothing has changed. And I'm telling you, the hands are hurting me just from a simple act of firing a gun for an after morning and roping a boat in the afternoon. So I guess I'm feeling years, I guess, is what I'm saying to you. That's all. And I'm a little distracted by it. And the reason I'm distracted by it is because I've always been obsessed with death and dying ever since I've been a little kid, because there was so much of it in my house and family and illness and fear that you kind of like grow up with it. And you some people live with, I found out some people don't even think about it at all. They don't ever think about it. I have always had death as my friend since I've been a little kid. He's walked with me, or she's walked with me, and we've walked a long road together. She's always been with me. I don't fear it. I don't welcome it, but it's there waiting. I mean, I understand that. Remember the teachings of Don Juan, those of you who were into drugs in the 60s and 70s? Remember that book? There was an amazing part of the teachings of Don Juan. There was a lot of wisdom in some of these books. They weren't all crazy in those days. And whoever wrote it, I forget who wrote it at the time. I really don't. He said that death is always with us and she's always waiting. Well, he was right, 100% right. And he said, you may as well get comfortable with it because it's been there from the time you were born. Well, that is true. Doesn't mean you have to reach out and embrace it, or you don't have to do the dance of death in order to go there faster. In fact, the opposite is true. According to my tradition and my people, is you reject death as long as you can. You don't do what the liberals do, which is look to embrace death. You never embrace death. But what I'm getting at is that, I'm feeling the time, that's all. And that's it, and I'll be right back. It is the Savage Nation. So the psychos in San Francisco want places for junkies to shoot up safely. It's beyond comprehension. They think they're so progressive, so advanced, so avant-garde. Drug injection shooting centers. Safe injection centers where users could bring their drugs. In other words, just like your grandmother who had diabetes, they're equal to your grandmother, the junkie. And this way the addicts will be safe. They give them a safe place. As I said to you, this has been tried in the Netherlands, it's been tried in in that part of Europe. And, of course, they have a track record of dead young children and decaying city centers as a result. But don't tell that to the progressives in San Francisco. You're liable to wake them out of their delusion. What else do you want to talk about on the Savage Nation? Junkies in restrooms, matriarchy, patriarchy. Let's go to Kansas City, Missouri, where we never take a caller from KCMO. Let's see what's going on in the center of America. Rudy, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, first
yes,
of
sir.
All, Carlos Castaneda, that's who wrote Don Juan.
Bingo, right.
And what I called about, let me ease your mind about death. I'll make this real quick. I know we're up against the clock. I had a heart attack about 5 years ago when they were operating on me. I was actually dead for 5 minutes. Trust me, pal, it's wonderful. All right,
I've seen it. Wait a minute. Do I get to meet all the relatives who tortured me all those years who were waiting?
I don't know about that, but I have seen what's on the other side, and it's great. But the reason I called, and I mean this as a supreme compliment to you, the only regret I have in my life is that my father didn't live long enough to hear you. You are the 21st century Joe Pine. Now, maybe everybody's not going to know who he was, but I think you do.
Well, I was hoping you'd say the 21st century Paul Revere, but I'll take it anyway.
Well, I'll do what you are that. That's assumed, but I mean...
No, I hear what you're saying. That's a great compliment to say you wish that your father had had a chance to see me. It's an interesting statement that you make. It's because, in a way, I reflect the tonality and the mentality of your father in many ways, and he would have found like a kindred spirit in Michael Savage. And that's right there the essence of the success of this show. Although you don't hear this much discussed publicly, my viewpoints, my worldview, it really is the core of America and the core of American values. That's what I think you're saying.
It is, and I'll tell you what, buddy. I'm a truck driver. You're with me every hour. You're on every day. And
beautiful.
I got your back, my man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much. That's it, the Heartland. Notes from the Heartland. I'll be right back for more right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Jumping with my boy Mike in the nation. And now a little Coltrane. We're going to have A-Train, excuse me. A little A-Train by Duke Ellington. You can literally feel the train. This music's so amazing. Look at the Dalai Lama. What a troublemaker he is. I don't like these professional troublemakers. Him, Bishop Tutu, they're all like the same. What is Bush meeting with him for? What an idiot. Get it off already. Dalai Lama comes over here. Bush meets with him. What is Bush thinking? We don't have enough trouble in the world. He's now got to antagonize China on top of it all for the wrong reason. You want to antagonize China, talk about the 3COM deal. Talk about something significant. Don't talk about, what are you provoking this over Tibet? What is he thinking? Why does he have to meet with this troublemaker from Tibet? I say to myself as I watch this Dalai Lama. You know, these guys are basically con men. I mean, I like Bishop Tutu. They come here and they go to the rich women's houses. They get a little on the side there. You know, the wives, the husbands are all you know, how shall I put it to you this way? Let's say not taking care of business. And then that's it. It goes back to the 60s. These guys are all the same. They're professional troublemakers. What is he? And what did I tell you? I told you yesterday this thing that Pelosi and Lantos and Reid were doing, which is this Armenian Holocaust genocide bill, would provoke or God forbid, could provoke the loss of the base in Turkey. It's happening. And the media is reporting that we're about to lose a key ally in Turkey without saying why. It was done by Nancy Pelosi on purpose. It's sedition. What Pelosi and company are doing is absolutely seditious. Taking away a supply line for our troops in a time of war, whether or not you agree with the war, is sedition. They should be arrested for this. I never saw anything like it. And yet Bush, instead of talking about that, the schmuck goes and wastes our time and meets with the Dalai Lama. So there it is. That's all. Next case. I got to watch this stuff and not lose my temper. Not good for my dog. He gets nervous when I yell. Then you got this Failure Air America host. She trips and falls in the street. God knows what she must have been smoking. They have no ratings. Trips and falls in the street, and they say they're right wing to try to kill her. I mean, they're so desperate. They have no ratings whatsoever. They have to trip now on purpose in the street to get on the drug. Then we want to write a book because no one will read it. So now they throw themselves down in the street and break their teeth in order to get media coverage. I guess she's jealous of the racist skank who got attention the other day. Okay, now I got a wild caller here from Kay Dorn out of Las Vegas, one of my favorite cities in the world. I actually like Las Vegas. I go to a couple of times a year. I have an apartment there. There's a certain verve in Vegas. Let's put it to you that way. I couldn't live there, but I like going there. There's just something about it. The restaurants are actually quite good. I know a couple of local Italian restaurants. To me, everything's Italian. Forget Chinese. Don't even look. It's not there. It doesn't happen. But you can actually judge a city by its Italian food. And for obvious reasons, Las Vegas has good Italian food. Not necessarily, some of the hotels have it, but out on there's a highway that goes way, way out. It used to be in the desert with the lime and with the shovels in the area after digging. The gardening, the men would come back hungry from the gardening, and they went to this place off the road. It's very good. It's very good food from the gardeners would come there years ago. But now the city has moved past it, but it's still there. And the strangest thing is it has a sign for a team somewhere in Illinois on the outside. Why would a restaurant in Las Vegas, like, be the home place for, you know, someplace in Illinois? They're announcing that it's good Italian food. That's all. Go there and complain the food's no good. Go send back something. Go ahead. I dare you. Go send the food back. So anyway, from Las Vegas, I complained in the last hour that my hands hurt me. My left hand from unknown reasons, my right hand from shooting at the range and the boating. So we have a caller now from Las Vegas who says he's going to heal my hand. Michael on K-Dawn, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks. It's a pleasure to be on. I said a prayer to get through, and I'm amazed that I got through.
Well, all right. Now, what I see on the screen, it says healer wants to heal Savage by radio.
Right. Well, let me tell you what I do first, okay? I've been practicing energy healing and the laying on of hands for 22 years.
So, in other words, you're a hitman who kills people with your hand. I'm joking. So,
you didn't laugh at the joke.
Now I'm really worried.
No. No, I've been practicing, but the phenomenon.
All right, so how are you going to heal me? Through the telephone, radio? You're going to heal my hands?
I will attempt to reach you, and I'll leave my number off the air with your producer. I'm not here to sell
myself. Do you think the big guy in the sky can be punishing me for touching myself too much when I was a kid?
No, you're being silly now, and I'm very, very serious. I'll tell you one thing I'm worried about, because I listen to you. I don't agree with everything you say, but you are truly one of the most exciting talk show hosts in the world. This is true. However, you're stressing yourself out with the world events, but I know that's your job.
But there's nothing new about that, Michael. I mean, to be fair to that particular point, I've been worried about world events since I'm a kid.
See, I teach healing.
Well, wait, now let me relate to this. Since you're a healer with energy, let me go back a long time. How does being 6 years old in the Bronx, running down the street, yelling, the world is coming to an end, did that make me a psychotic?
Who am I to judge your mental state? I can't do that.
No, I don't know. If I'm a psychotic, I've done pretty well. I fooled a lot of people for a very long period of time. Wrote a lot of books, got a PhD, 2 master's degrees, have a family. So, in other words, what is psychosis? Psychosis is people who don't realize they may be crazy.
Hey, we're all a little crazy. Well, listen, I used to be a singer.
No, but what I'm saying is, the point of that story is that at 6 years old, I was freaked out by what was going on in the world. This was right around the time of the dropping of the nuclear weapons on Japan. I was too young for that, but I saw the hydrogen bomb evolve. I mean, I looked ahead and said the world is coming to an end. Naturally, the working class people, the immigrants' children, thought I was pretty crazy to say that as a young boy. So what I'm getting at is I've been doing it all my life. It hasn't killed me yet. How are you going to heal me?
I don't want it to kill you. We need you out there, and you're doing a remarkable job. Like I said, I don't agree with everything you say. I won't go into that. That's not why I called you. I called you to try to help you. Now, there's only one thing I'm really concerned about, and that's when I attempt to bring you to me. This is how I work. I go in an altered state, and I will you to me. I've had great success. In fact, they're writing a book about my work called The Healing Mind, A True Story, with true documentations.
Very, very difficult with me. I don't let anyone will me to them.
Well, me, no. I have to pretend you're here in my mind.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, go ahead. Go for it. Go
right
ahead.
Now, stop. I know the color of your hair.
What color is my hair?
Michael, I have no idea. You have to tell me the color of your hair. I've seen you on television, so I have a vague picture of what you look like.
I'll tell you what, instead of me doing it piecemeal, give me the whole list so I can decide what to give you in what order.
I need the color of your hair, your eyes, small, medium, or large build. That's all I need.
No, I can't do that on the radio. I think it's too risky. I think there are too many truly crazy people out there, Michael, to transmit this personal information, which is not that hard to figure out. Through other means, through the electronic media. I think it's asking for trouble. I think you can understand that.
Completely understand it.
But I'll tell you what I'm going to do, because I'll show you that I'm open to things. Leave your email address. I will get in touch with you. How's that?
You would, and I'm going to give your producer my phone number, because off the air I'm going to be home. I'll give him my home phone. I have a phone healing coming in from Florida in 15 minutes.
All right. Stay on the line. Get Michael's phone number, and never put a remote healer on. Now, if you get someone with a, maybe he can heal me from the guy's hands with the digging near the Italian restaurant. Maybe they went to see him after they did gardening out their way on that road in Las Vegas. I don't know. It could be. He worked with other people's hands. WOR, New York City, Eric, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, pleasure to speak here. I just wanted to let you know that your right hand's hurting you from shooting that extremely lightweight Smith & Wesson Magnum. I assume it's the five-shot 357, the small frame made of that.
Yes. I think it's made of magnesium. I don't know what. It's unbelievably light.
They call it scandium. I'm not sure what it's made of, but I have to tell you, I'm a police officer for over 17 years, an avid shooter for longer than that. That gun is absurd. They make it simply to sell it for people who are naive enough to buy it. I would have nothing to do with that gun. The strongest man in the world would walk away with an agonizing hand if he's shooting basically anything, even 30.
Oh, okay, so it's not that I got weak all of a sudden. I'm telling you, like, my whole bone structure hurts from it.
Please, I beg of you, have nothing to do with that. I would not bet my life on that gun for anything. I would expect it literally to seize up and bind up from the fact that it's too light for the level of recoil. The combat commander you spoke of is probably the finest personal protection handgun ever created.
Oh, it's amazing, but it's too heavy to carry as a conceal and carry weapon. The combat commander is an awesome weapon. It's unbelievable. The thing belches fire. It's dead accurate. It's got walnut grips, which were how they were made in those days, and everything was machined in America when America was still making great guns. God knows where they make the parts for those guns today.
Well, Colt is still in business. They're not what they once were.
Yeah, but Colt in the 80s, as I understand it, was taken over by some stock manipulator, and they started sending out parts to their various and sundry, you know, operators. They were not the original Colt after 1985, 1990.
They had a lot of trouble with the UAW. The UAW called strikes against them, and they really hurt.
I hear you, but you're saying that the gun was so light to frame that the kick out of the 357 ordnance was to be expected, because there was nothing in the gun to take the shock.
It's unreasonable, Michael. It is unreasonable.
Let me see if I follow you, because the gun itself is so light. When you have the explosion of the bullet, normally a weapon would absorb some of the energy of the bullet, and the rest of the energy would be absorbed by the person firing the weapon. But when a weapon is too light, most of the energy of that recoil is absorbed by the person firing the weapon, rather than some of it being absorbed by the weapon itself.
It just slams right into your hand. 12 ounces is too light for a .357 Magnum. The original Smith & Wesson .357 Magnum, which came out in 1935, was on their largest frame, the end frame, and weighed over 40 ounces. You're talking about a gun that weighs 12 ounces. They make it just to sell it. They need to stay in business.
No, I got news for you. This one weighs less than 12 ounces, much less. This is a much lighter weight gun. All right, I hear you, and I thank you for that update. I've heard the same thing, but not quite exactly like this. When I come back, we'll talk about hands, heads, toes, navels, teeth, eyes, whatever you want to talk about. The Dalai Lama, even, you can talk about if you want. Do you think it was wise for George Bush to greet the Dalai Lama? I think it's absolutely stupid. What do you think about Putin getting together with the Hitler of Iran? Why is this happening right now? What is this, like one moron after another? And at the same time that everything's melting down, Nancy Pelosi now blows off Turkey and alienates Turkey, so they want to now withdraw the Inkirk air base from us? Who is running anything anymore that has brains? I don't have an answer to this, but I'll be back to take your calls.
Savage.
Republican presidential candidates are talking tough today, and they're taking direct aim at Iran's president. Are they telling Jewish voters what they want to hear? Paul Begala and J.C. Watts,
Has this man degenerated to the point, Wolf Blitzer on CNN, that he doesn't even hear himself anymore? I've always known he was a putz. I've always known he was a laughingstock and a putz and a self-hating Jew. But to run a piece like this may as well have come from Streicher himself. Is he insane? He's saying Republican candidates are talking tough about Iran. Are they telling the Jewish voters what they want to hear? So let me see if I understand this, Blitzer. You mean if a dirty bomb should be set off in New York City by an Iranian agent, the bomb would only kill Jews? It wouldn't kill anyone else? Do they have any idea what they're saying anymore? Are they crazy? Iran didn't say that they hate American Jews. They said they hate America, the great Satan. So what is he now segregating out the Jewish people for from the American people? This could have come right out of the Third Reich, but it's from a Jew, Wolf Blitzer, on top of it all. And I'm telling you again, liberalism is a mental disorder. It doesn't matter what religion they are, cuts right across all religions and races. Liberalism is an expression of madness. Did you hear what he just said? Play it again.
Republican presidential candidates are talking tough today, and they're taking direct aim at Iran's president. Are they telling Jewish voters what they want to hear? Paul Begala.
You idiot, you. You know you're a disgrace. You remind me of the kind of Jew who led children into the concentration camp with a flute in order to stay alive another day. You sicken me, you little twerp, you. Capos. He's a capo with a wand and a capo without a stick, you idiot, you. God, what an... You got to put up with it in this business, you know. Now, what do you want to talk about here on the Savage Nation? Modesto, Craig, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
First off, I'd just like to say, Dr. Savage, that I think you're a great American, and I usually agree with most everything.
I'm not a great American, please. I that's something that Wolbanger likes to hear, so you don't have to butter me up in order to attack me. What's your main attack point?
To butter you up, Dr. Savage, I just feel like you are a great American, and I think that you need to do more.
I'm not a great American. A great American is the kid in Iraq who's suffering over there. That's a great American. But all right, let's not split hairs. What's on your mind?
Off on this subject about the San Francisco Dope House. I think it's a great thing. I think more cities in the United States should have them. We could keep control of all these druggies, make sure they aren't out ripping us off, stealing from us. We can really keep a good eye on.
Why don't we just give them the heroin to go with the shooting gallery?
Get it more like Europe, and I think it would be...
Sir, are you only sending or can you receive? Did your hearing go out from all the years of using?
I wasn't a user.
What's the next step? Give them the drugs too?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Yeah, now, do you know what's gone on in Norway where they experimented with these so-called shooting galleries? Do you know what happened there?
Oh, well, their crime rate is almost nil.
You're wrong. You're wrong. There was an epidemic of deaths of young Norwegians, number one. Number two, they hollowed out city centers as a result of these shooting galleries because nobody rightly wanted to be around them. What are you thinking? They've tried this in progressive Europe and abandoned this idea.
Savage.
Little Charlie Parker here on the Savage Nation. It's a moody, rainy day out here on the West Coast, and we're just talking here. Those days, no one could play like that anymore. First of all, it wouldn't sell. No one understands it. It's too fast, and no one got it. What's this with the staff epidemic? Where's it coming from? What are they hiding from you? Experts say drug-resistant staff deaths may surpass AIDS deaths. That's not good for the AIDS lobby. They can't keep you focused on them. They're threatened. It's a disease they don't control. Money's liable to be taken from the AIDS racketeers. So now you got this kid, a football player in high school, who picks up a staff infection somewhere in a locker room. 17-year-old healthy boy, Virginia. The germ spreads to his kidneys, liver, lungs, and muscles, and he dies. Now we read all of a sudden there's a staph infection in America, and the experts won't tell you why, how, where. They keep it hidden. Now, what is a drug-resistant staphylococcus infection? Well, penicillin-related antibiotics used to be able to destroy them, but because of overuse, the bacteria has developed an immunity to the penicillin-like antibiotics. However, there's almost nothing you can treat them with. The question is, where are they coming from? Well, let's look at this. Let us look at where the infections are being found. It says, in recent years, the resistant germ has become more common in hospitals, that we know, and it has been spreading through prisons, gyms, and locker rooms, and in poor urban neighborhoods. Now, as an epidemiologist, you have to ask yourself, why would this spread in a poor urban neighborhood? And what do they mean by poor urban neighborhood? Answer, an illegal immigrant community. Aha, so could there be a relationship to immigrant communities and this sudden appearance of drug-resistant staphylococcus? Answer, you betcha. You're going to get that from the CDC? Never. You're going to get that from your local health department? Not unless the person wants to lose his job. No, keep the cracker off base and let him think it comes from the air. Doesn't come from the air. Old Mike Savage wrote a piece called Immigrants and Epidemics in 1980-81. Couldn't get it published. That was after 17 books that he could get published. The publisher said, great idea, you've proven your point, but you can't publish it because we won't publish it. Why won't you publish it? Because it's insensitive to suggest that immigrants bring in diseases. We need more and more immigrants. So this is an old fight for me. It's been going on for 30 years. Trying to counter the propaganda that we have to live with. So there it is. So we have an epidemic now of drug-resistant staphylococcus, and they'll tell you they don't know where it comes from. But just keep focused on prisons, gyms, locker rooms, and in poor urban neighborhoods. And then when you look at prisons, you realize that 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens. Poor urban neighborhoods primarily mean illegal immigrant neighborhoods. And then you say, well, how does this get into gyms and locker rooms? That's a secondary story. And what's going on in the gyms and locker rooms all of a sudden? That the staphylococcus is prevalent. Well, fact is I don't go into locker rooms for that reason. They're like cesspools. I won't even use gym equipment. I won't use public gym equipment. What, the next guy's DNA you want on your hand? I don't go near it. So it's a little side story, I admit it. But it's an important story for you to understand because these drug-resistant staph infections can be gotten very easily, by the way. You can get them pretty easily. A little body contact. Think about that. A little body contact. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? Let it all hang out. Well, there it is. Let it all hang out. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? So there it is now. That's where the epidemics are coming from a little too much togetherness. Now we're going to go on to some political topics. Well, this is quite a political topic, of course. We're going to go back to another story of George Bush hugging the Dalai Lama at the wrongest time in U.S.-China relations possible. The other day, Nancy Pelosi alienates a key ally in the Middle East called Turkey. Now George Bush alienates China just when we shouldn't be alienating China. Why is he doing it? Why is he suddenly embracing the Dalai Lama? Steve has an idea. Steve, Pensacola, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure. I would like to see your opinion on the 3M deal you brought to the light, and now the news media is picking up on it. I think the Dalai Lama might be just a smoke and mirror just to get the minds off this 3M deal that you have brought to the light and forced. And,
well, I'll tell you, maybe the Dalai Lama himself isn't even aware of it. I would suspect he doesn't know much about it. But George Bush certainly wants the 3M deal to go through because he's the auctioneer in chief. So that could be why all of a sudden Bush is embracing the Dalai Lama right now. It makes no sense otherwise.
In your point of view on this 3M deal, keep it abreast, keep people on this, because now they're starting to talk about it, and I think it is a great tragedy if this happens.
Well, when you analyze the picture and you see how the conspiracy involved with it, which is that the Goldman Sachs investment firm is factoring the deal, number one. Their former CEO is now Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. The chief of staff to George Bush is a former Goldman Sachs bigwig. And, of course, it's all about money. And they seem to be directing the government irrespective of national security concerns. Of course we should be worried when profit is put above national security. And no one seems to be looking out for the American people here. Except, thank you. That's all. What am I supposed to do about it? Why don't you ask Hillary Clinton what she thinks about it? She's got a big yap on her. She says that she's going to save the country. Ask one of the other presidential contenders what they think about the 3Con deal transferring to the Chinese military front company. Ask them what they think about it. See if you can get an answer out of Rudy Giuliani. Ask Giuliani what he thinks about it. He'll give you a big smile and a Waldorf Astoria, you know, handshake. That's all you're going to get. Ask any of them. They're not going to answer any real question. It's all politics. Jeff, Naples, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just want to tell a little story. I actually started listening to you when I spent about a year in the hospital because of MRSA.
Sorry, because of what?
Methyl resistant staph.
Okay, you got a penicillin resistant staph infection. How did you get it?
Originally, I had a small surgery for a cyst I had in my neck, and from that surgery, I got MRSA, which was methyl resistant staph.
Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of people who are afraid to go near a hospital. They're afraid of even getting a colonoscopy because of it. They don't want anything from a hospital in their body.
It gets better, though. From my neck, it went to my lung, into my spine, and I was blind for 6 months because of it.
Oh, my God. Well, how'd they save you? I mean, this kid's 17 and he died from it. How'd they save you?
I mean, I was 29 at the time. I spent 2 months of my life going every day for intravenous 3 hours of vancomycin treatment. Eventually, they came out with Zyvox, new antibiotic that got rid of it. But I spent about
it says more than 90,000 Americans get potentially deadly staph infections, and particularly drug resistant staph superbugs. Okay, and they said that these infections, deaths from these infections, may exceed those caused by AIDS. So. You're part of an epidemic. What you got?
People don't realize how common it is. You know, and
well,
drug.
Yeah, I know. They enter the bloodstream or destroy flesh and can turn deadly. Thank you for the call. Terrible thing. Terrible thing. Rampant staff, and a lot of people won't go near a hospital for that reason. They're afraid of even little procedures. Ocala, Florida. Steve, WSKY. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I'm just wondering why you have a problem with President Bush meeting with Dalai Lama. Doesn't he represent the... Dalai Lama represents China...
What does he represent? He represents himself. He's a politician. What does the Dalai Lama want? Let's analyze that together. What does he want?
Yeah, doesn't he want self-determination for Tibet?
You think the Chinese are going to suddenly let Tibet break away as an independent republic?
I don't, but, President Bush meets with Mahmoud Abbas, who's wanting self-determination for Palestinian...
Yeah, everybody wants self-determination. I want self-determination. I can't have it. I'm living in a police state. Where am I going to get self-determination from? If I sneeze, I can get arrested. If I sneeze, I can be body slammed by some thug who tells me I broke a law. A woman just got arrested for cursing a toilet that overflowed somewhere in Maine. She screamed at the toilet in her own house, and a retired cop next door told her to cut it out. She was screaming a curse word at the toilet. They got her. They arrested her. What kind of world are we living in? Give me self-determination. That's all. What's he giving a medal to the Dalai Lama for, that selfish? Look, it's a mistake. And by the way, anything Bush does right now, you have to analyze 80 different ways to Sunday. Why all of a sudden the Dalai Lama? Why would he go out of his way to antagonize mainland China, communist China right now, over an issue like this? What's to be gained by it? Don't know, but somebody called and said, does that have anything to do with the 3COM deal in order for us not to look at that? Anything's possible. I don't know who's advising him. I have no idea why the Dalai Lama is suddenly in the news. Sacramento, Jenny, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I was wondering why the Bush was giving the Congressional Medal of Honor to this Dalai Lama, because he's not a citizen of the United States. What did he merit to get that?
I don't know. Maybe he'll wind up becoming a citizen living in L.A. and opening a 7-Eleven. You never can tell.
Insult, though, to the people that get those medals?
Well, the two sides of the Congressional Gold Medal that will be awarded to the Dalai Lama during a ceremony on Capitol Hill Wednesday. The medal is designed and struck by the U.S. Mint individually to honor each specific recipient. The Chinese are not going to let go of Tibet. And by the way, the atrocities that are occurring right now in Darfur are where we should be focused, not on Tibet. That's another story, incidentally. What are you focused on Tibet right now? What was done is horrible. It was done already. It's water under the bridge. That's all. They're never going to free Tibet. You ever see the liberals driving around with the Free Tibet bumper stickers from the 70s? That's all well and good, but, like, hello, who's controlling Tibet? Their good friend China. They're like in a double bind. If the bumper sticker said, tell China to free Tibet, I would say, okay, there's some rationality to it. What do you mean by free Tibet? From who? It's like some amorphous country is oppressing Tibet? No, it's the communist Chinese who are oppressing Tibet. So what do you mean by free Tibet? How are you going to free Tibet? What power do you have over China to free Tibet? Answer, none. But you do have the power to stop your sellout congressmen and senators from approving a deal where one of our premier computer technology companies is going to be sold to the communist Chinese military. That's more important than Tibet to me. I'll be right back.
Savage.
If you're an old guy who's a great saxophone player and your hands start to go, I can't imagine. What do you do with yourself after that? You know? At least in talk radio, you don't have to use anything but I love Cannonball Adderley. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Free Tibet, with purchase of $20 or more, allegedly was seen on a bathroom wall recently. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but some you know, card wrote that. And there was a Free Tibet bumper sticker in the bathroom, and he wrote next to it, with purchase of $20 or more. Makes no sense. Here's another headline just came out. Dems back off genocide bill. Oh, Nancy finally figured out that there are consequences to her whack job stupidity? House vote to label the century-old deaths of Armenians as genocide in jeopardy after some Democrats withdraw support. Oh, they figured out they might alienate a key ally. You hear the geniuses figured it out. The ones who told us that Bush didn't know what he was doing, got us into Iraq based on false evidence, made it up. But they didn't make this up. Anyone could have told them if they did this, Turkey would do that. But don't tell that to Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. No. So who withdrew, let's say? Who did this? It doesn't say who, whatever. Somebody's withdrawing. Steny Hoyer told reporters Tuesday that the plan remained to vote on the measure before Congress adjourns by the end of the year. But he said there are a number of people who are revisiting their own positions and will have to determine where everyone is. The most notable Democratic challenge mounted this week came from Rep. John Murtha. Remember John Murtha? The biggest recipient of pork barrel spending. So he's against it now. I wonder why. Murtha said, from my discussions with our military commanders, oh, you mean the ones you're not persecuting? I believe that this resolution could harm our relations with Turkey and therefore our strategic interests in the region. How did Murtha come up from the pork barrel trough long enough to understand this one, I wonder? Also this week, at least six Democrats withdrew their sponsorship of the bill, and two other Democrats, Reps. Alcee Hastings of Florida and John Tanner of Tennessee, asked Pelosi to forego the vote. Whoa! How did they figure this out? They took time out from pork barrel spending to figure out the ramifications of what they're going to do here? Rep. Ike Skelton, D. Moe, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, and Rep. Solomon Ortiz, D. Texas, sent Pelosi a similar letter last week. Ah, how do you like that? So they're finally figuring out that there are ramifications to stupidity, the Democrats. Well, that's good, at least, and better late than never. Feds say staff deaths may surpass AIDS toll. I told you that already. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. Now it's time for me to review my own website. I haven't looked at it. Let's see what the old website looks like today. I have some of these stories up there, but not all of them. Here we go. U.S. plans alternate route for Iraq supplies amid Turkish turmoil. Turkey could paralyze critical supply lines to Iraq. Tell that to Nancy Pelosi. Top right, Clinton's book bombs. Oh, did they get screwed? They printed 750,000 copies of his new book. The book's called Giving, and it's a bomb. Knopf is going to eat this one, boy. It sold 50,000 copies the first week, mainly to Democrat operatives who go out and buy the book to make it jump to the top of the list. In the second week, boom, 9,600 copies. Who would want a book by Bill Clinton? And this is even though he was on Oprah Winfrey and Larry King. Still went nowhere. Isn't that amazing? Nobody wants this book. You know, it's like, burn this book. Where's Abby Hoffman now that we need him? Steal this book. San Francisco, support for supervised drug injection is growing. Yeah, who, amongst junkies? Doc from Iran accused of negligence remains on the job. That's on michaelsavage.com. Mom and dad banished by California. That's your friend Arnold Schwarzenegger, the crypto Democrat socialist from Massachusetts. Fruit compound fights head and neck cancer. That's not San Francisco related, but it's very important that you learn about Lupiol, a compound of fruits like mangoes, grapes, and strawberries. Amazingly important story. I'm a big grape eater because I read about the cancer, the grape diet in the 1970s. There were clinics in Germany that put people on organic grapes, nothing but grapes. And in some cases, the cancers were stopped. I know many of you liberals don't believe in anything but chemo and burn, cut, and poison. That's because you're retros. But you see, we conservatives know much more about the alternative health than you do. In fact, I would wager that the alternative health movement that still exists is largely something the conservatives believe in more than Dems. Dems are straight out AMA. Because the libs today are extremely into big government, big medicine, anything that's big and centralized they like. They distrust anything that's individualistic and individualized. Do you know that? It's an interesting story. I should do that one day. I should develop that idea. U.S. Marine High School attacked by left. They want only gay, lesbian, and Arab highs. That's right. In other words, they're all for an Arab high in New York. They're all for a gay and leso high in New York. But the minute a school comes out in Chicago that the U.S. Marines will be involved, and they go berserk crazy. Immigrants bringing new super strains? ? On MichaelSavage.com. Read all about it. Bush urged to block merger. Good luck. He's behind it. SF Archbishop and his drag queen problem. Still a big story. Apparently, the leprechaun was taken in by the lie that the Archbishop didn't know he was being set up. Total lie. Read the article. This Archbishop in San Francisco has been deeply embedded in the homosexual movement going back at least 25 years. Don't believe the garbage that they're saying that he was set up by accident and he's innocent. He's not innocent. Read the article. Putin, lay off my buddy. Putin visits Iran's Hitler. Offers veiled warnings against U.S. Jaguar X-Type, dud of the decade, asks the New York Times. New York Senator sales license plan. New Yorkers object to Spitzer license plan. No kidding. Every poll shows that Spitzer is spitting on the voters in New York, but he doesn't care. He's owned by the illegal alien mafia. What does he care what the average American New Yorker thinks? Nearly three-quarters of New Yorkers surveyed in a recent poll opposed Governor Elliott's spit-on-use proposal to let illegal immigrants obtain New York State driver's licenses. Even Democrats oppose it. Even Democrats oppose this. But Governor Spitz on you doesn't care. He doesn't care what the people think. He comes from a billionaire family, and he's grown up knowing that he can get away with virtually anything. That's how he became governor. Those are some of the topics you can read about on the Savage Nation website, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the most important caller of the day in the 30. No, I don't have 38 seconds remaining in this hour. I can't do it. Someone's calling to ask, how did Savage get Teddy? Tracy, I got Teddy via the internet from a breeder in Tennessee. And I'm still looking for a young female, 3 years or younger. Not for me. I for the dog, for God's sakes. Teddy, a three-year-old miniature poodle between the weight of 8 and 10 pounds. I want a gray. because I want to mate him. I want to breed him. I want the babies. I want more dogs. I don't care what the mess is going to be. And the breeder, I get all of them. You can't have any of them. I'll just pay you for the breeding.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You know, it's Tuesday in the Savage Nation, but still the liberals are determined to undermine our military. Yes, I attack the Republicans when they're wrong, but the Democrats are far worse. How Nancy Pelosi can stab the troops in their back during a time of war by passing a resolution which she knew would enrage the Turks and cause trouble on Iraq's northern border when they're in enough hot water is beyond me. Liberalism, yes, is a mental disorder. But Pelosi and the San Francisco ghoul, Tom Lantos, are taking a swipe at Turkey, which is the route we use to get supplies to our troops. They know that if they act openly against the troops by withdrawing their funding, that they will be exposed before the American people as the traitors and the pacifists that they are. Go ahead, play Nancy Pelosi.
I tell you this, some of the things that are harmful to our troops relate to values. Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, torture, all of those issues about who we are as a country. And I think that our troops are well served when we declare who we are as a country and increase the respect that people have for us as a nation.
When the Turkish government says there was no genocide of Armenians, we have to set them straight.
And apparently America wants to talk about the resolution the Democrats are passing about the Armenian Holocaust perpetrated by the Ottoman Turks at perhaps the most inopportune time in history, and they're not doing it for the sake of the Armenians. They're not doing it for the sake of setting the record straight, in my opinion. They're doing it strictly for partisan reasons. They're going to trigger a war between Turkey and the Kurds. Worse than that, though, if there could be anything worse, is that when you know 70% of all supplies go through Turkey to our troops, what they're really trying to do is commit an atrocity against our own troops by cutting off food, ammunition, and water. That's what they're really trying to do. In other words, because they can't pass a resolution to get us out of Iraq, they're catering to the crazies amongst their own party, and they're doing it by any means necessary. Any means necessary means, in this case, killing our own troops by cutting off supplies and ammunition. Now, we know that politics is pretty foolish. Most of us have lost faith in the political structure for that reason. When it comes down to this level, though, this is more than a joke, more than an embarrassment. However, there are other topics. What do you want to talk about? I'll pick one out of the air. Make believe I'm a teacher in a classroom where people are throwing spitballs. I'm a former teacher, so I know how audiences are. I have an intuition about who you are and what you're thinking about right now. You're restless. You're bored. You're throwing spitballs. You're looking at the girl's hair, not at what's on the blackboard. You're just generally not interested in anything. You don't know what to be interested in. You like the teacher, but you're not interested in the lesson today. It's like, what do you care about Armenia, Shmenia? That's what you're saying. I don't even know who they are. I never met one. I don't know who they are. I don't know why I like them. I don't know. They're not bad. They're not evil. It shouldn't have happened, but I don't know what an Ottoman is. I thought it was a Hasek. What do you mean Ottoman Turk? I thought you meant a Hasek, an Ottoman. Where does it come from? What do I care? What do I know? Football, baseball, pornography. That's what I know. That's what it is. An American moron. You know what this reminds me of? My favorite science teacher of all time is, it actually made me go into science for many years. Seventh grade science. Parsons Junior High School, Queens, New York. SP, skipped a grade. So we move into this brand new junior high school, and man, I think I was in the promised land. It was all, oh, the bricks were new, the floors were new, the wood smelled new, the varnish smelled new. Everything was clean and beautiful. The teachers even were better. And I was in an advanced class for, you know, smart alecky kids who skipped the grade, so the teachers wore better. In those days, they actually had classes for bright kids rather than all the money going for the moron, the dummy, and the troublemaker, which is why it's hard to produce a generation that can think or do anything superb anymore. All the money goes for the troublemaker or the moron today instead of for the brightest kids who should get all the money, by the way. So anyway, we're in the classroom, science, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what month it was. And we're bored to death not listening to him. This guy fell asleep during the class. Your mind wanders in that 12 years old, 11. Who listens to science? You know, basically you're wandering off unless you're from India taking notes. So I'm asleep. All of a sudden, I hear a crash and a bang in the lockers behind my head in the back of the room. And I look up like from my slumber, from my narcolepsy, and the bright teacher is saying, well, that's an example of what a vacuum can do, boys and girls. And what? What he had done was he took a piece of new kitchenware called Tupperware, which just came on the market. And what he did was he put something inside this plastic container and then opened the top a few times to let the air out, created a vacuum, and threw it against the back locker of the classroom, made a bang and a commotion, and we looked up, and then he explained to us what a vacuum was and what a vacuum could do in a primitive manner. Now, that to me was good teaching. That's what talk radio is. If you want to be a good teacher in talk radio, what you got to do is bang. You got to bang the locker in the back of the room every once in a while in order to keep the attention of the listener. Because, you know, there's a lot of similarity between political talk radio today and classrooms, by the way, of years gone by. So there it is. Now we can move on. Now that I got your attention about a vacuum, I'm in a vacuum. I've created a vacuum. I had you going on the turkey thing, but it was a narrow-banded thing. All right, we'll take the callers. KNEW, San Francisco. John, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I love your show, and I disagree about what you've been saying about Nancy Pelosi. She has been the only Speaker of the House in the last 30 years that had the guts to bring this to the House floor for a congressional vote.
All right, let's pause right there. Let us say that she's doing it for altruistic purposes, which I completely disagree with. What has happened, though, is that Turkey is now taking a step towards invading Iraq. Wouldn't you say there was a political blunder on Nancy's part?
No.
So in other words, it's okay if the Turks go to war with the Kurds, and if they cut off transiting supplies to our troops, that's also okay.
It's not okay, but these are all threats by Turks, and they're just being a bully towards the U.S. Mm-hmm.
Well, oil prices shot up today, partly reflecting concerns over a conflict that could open up a new front in the Iraq war. Light sweet crude oil for November delivery hit a new high of $85 a barrel before retreating, all because of Nancy Pelosi's humanitarianism?
Michael, Nancy Pelosi has promised Americans that she's going to bring this to the House floor, and the Turks have been getting ready for months.
But John, my dear friend listener, didn't you hear what even the Democrat William Cohen has said? Nine previous secretaries of state, including Democrats, say there couldn't be a worse time to rub the current Turkish government's nose in the salt of the past. Why now, though?
Michael, then can you tell me when the right time is, and can we set the date today for the right time to have this genocide resolution go through?
I don't have a time, but today is definitely the wrong time. I wish I could say to you that in 2 years we will be out of Iraq and that would be the right time. I can generically say that when we are out of Iraq and we no longer rely upon the Turkish government to transit supplies to our troops, would be a perfect time for the Democrats to do it. I believe this is an attack on our troops and an attack on Bush more than it is support for the Armenian people, who are rightly upset that the genocide has not yet been properly documented in that sense.
Was it the right time for the German government to recognize the Holocaust, and as recently as 2-3 months ago for the Minister of Germany, Finance Minister of Germany, to set aside a few more billion dollars for reparation for the survivors of the Holocaust.
So it's all about money, you're saying?
Excuse me?
Once again, it's all about money. Once again, it's Democrats in cahoots with trial lawyers trying to rip off Turkey right now. That's what it's all about now, the rape of Turkey, simply over money. That's what it is. Again, the greedy lawyers got to Nancy Pelosi, the American trial lawyers who sank their teeth into the Holocaust billions, now want to sink their fangs into the Armenian Holocaust. That's what it is. So it's the lawyers again. Thanks for enlightening me. I'll be right back. Savage.
What do you expect the changes to be when the with the relationships with people all around the world when the person at the helm has a lot less testosterone?
Well, you know, I've been asked a lot of things. I've never been asked that before.
Turn it off. That just what the world needs is a feminized, homosexualized America. Just in time for the coming next wave of Islamofascism. Just in time. Just perfect timing. You want to talk about a perfect storm. Just what America needs is a feminized, homosexualized America. It's not bad enough. Now, we need to now go down the tubes a little bit further. You know, last night, I was saying to myself, well, you know, maybe it's time for me to get off the stage and blah, blah, blah. Then I thought about something, and I said to myself now, I said, I think I'll tell my audience the following. Which is that I've thought about walking off the stage of the media and let someone else deal with this for the next few years. I said, but God, I don't want to miss the fun of watching this country fall into the feminist more, even more completely than it already has. I don't want to miss the fun of, let us say Hillary wins, God forbid, of the homosexual agenda taking over even more of the American mindset. I don't want to miss any of that. I want to be around for the fun. I want to watch this country decline even further, and I want to see the Democrats continue to blame somebody else for what they've done to this country. This is an example of what they're doing with the Armenian vote right now. They're doing it specifically to embarrass George Bush, to undermine the war effort because they can't get the votes to do it, and they would do it by all means, by any means necessary. By any means necessary, they're taking the most unbelievably undermining action at the worst possible time. So go ahead. I'm going to stay around. I want to watch what happens with a feminized, homosexualized administration, that wherever you turn, there's going to be constant brainwashing. I can't wait to see Christians attacked in America. I can't wait to see priests put in jail for expressing the Ten Commandments. I can't wait for any of these things. I can't wait to see free speech outlawed under the guise of fairness. I can't wait for any of these things. And that's all coming if you elect this woman. I mean, we know who she is. We know who she is. We had 8 years of Big Sis as a miss. We had 8 years of Donna Shalala. We had 8 years of Janet Stirner, who incinerated 78 men, women, and children in a church because they were not rich and got away with murder, virtual murder. We had 8 years of these people. We know what she's going to bring to this country. You don't remember those years? You don't understand it? So I intend to stick around. Illegal immigrant picked up for shooting cop in Phoenix, Arizona. An illegal alien from Mexico, previously had been deported, is being ordered held without bond for allegedly trying to kill a Phoenix police officer. 35-year-old Jose Abel Cabrera is accused of shooting the officer after being pulled over in Northeast Phoenix for running a stop sign. Bulletproof vest saved the young man's life. He returned fire. But when they found this bum, this illegal alien bum, in his pickup truck, there were two bullet holes in the rear window by the cop. He claims he wasn't driving the car. He said he lent his pickup to someone he didn't even know. I guess he was speaking to the boys from NYU who now have invaded Phoenix in the ACLU. FBI monitoring al-Qaeda activity in northern New Jersey. The FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force is monitoring a number of northern New Jersey residents with ties to al-Qaeda. Now, why don't they just take them out, arrest them, and put them in a holding tank? Answer, ACLU won't permit them. Unless there's a body bag, the FBI can't do their job. So they're waiting for a dirty bomb to go off somewhere in America before the FBI can do anything. Why? Because, again, the country is right now run like an Alice in Wonderland. The Lilliputians have hamstrung even the FBI. Your security hangs like a loose tooth. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com has all the stories that I try to get to, but you only want to talk about this, and I understand it. This thing is a very important story, so we'll continue to talk about that. Let us go to Chicago. Frank, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the genocide of the Native Americans, I think, is more important than, the Armenian issue at this moment. I think that Nancy Pelosi should recognize that first and then move on to foreign forms of genocide.
I understand that, but there was a genocide against various Native Americans. However, I would say that they've already had their compensation in the form of a massive welfare state and the Indian gambling. Wouldn't you say that's sort of a compensation unto itself?
In a manner of speaking. We could also move on to the Protestant genocide of the Amish in early American history, in pre-colonial days. There's many forms of...
Well, I understand, but do you agree with me that Pelosi doing this against Turkey right now has nothing to do with humanitarianism? It's all about undermining the troop effort, the war effort?
Could be, but I would say that is a little highfalutin and extrapolative of us to say that at this moment.
Well, if 70% of the supplies that go to our troops come through Turkey, would you not be surprised to see Turkey cut off using Turkey as a transit point? And what if Turkey did that? Didn't Nancy Pelosi think this through?
It could be a backdoor. Yeah, she should think it through, because right now that is our supply line.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Shouldn't she have thought it through? Wouldn't you expect that of a Speaker of the House? To say, well, wait a minute, if I do this, this might happen? Sir, I want to remind you that, again, even liberals such as William Cohen, former Defense Secretary under Clinton, and eight other Secretaries of State have said this is a bad idea for right now. Listen to clip 36 again. Thank you. Go ahead and play it.
I have written to her. I've joined with former Secretary of Defense Frank Carlucci and former Secretary of Defense Bill Perry. Again, this is not a partisan issue. If you look at the Secretaries of State, from Secretary Albright, Baker, Powell, and others down the line, eight of them have said this is a mistake to go forward with this. So what we would say is basically what we've said in the letter. There are ways to certainly honor the sacrifices and call attention to the killings that took place, massive killings that took place during that period, 1915 to 1923, but place that in the context of what it means in terms of going forward into the future from today, in terms of what it will do to our troops. The consequences are too severe, I think, for this.
Yeah, all right. Well, even a Democrat can see through this, but apparently Nancy Pelosi is so, let us say, blinded by partisan politics that she wasn't thinking. I think I've made my point. It's enough already.
Savage.
This is, I got in front of me the Nobel Peace Prize for 2007 from the Nobel Committee. I want you to listen to some of the rhetoric, and I want you to see what rubbish this is, okay? So they're going to share the Nobel Prize, two equal parts, between the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, not scientists now, governmental agencies, meaning socialists who want to aggrandize more power in the UN or in some UN-like committee, okay? And Albert Arnold Gore Jr., for their efforts to build up and disseminate greater knowledge about man-made climate change, blah, 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 blah. Now, listen, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear all the caveats in this statement. Indications of changes in the Earth's future climate must be treated with the utmost seriousness and with the precautionary principle uppermost in our minds. We have no idea what that means. Now, listen, extensive climate changes, they write, may alter and may threaten the living conditions of much of mankind. May? Listen to the next sentence. They may induce large-scale migration. Such changes will place particularly heavy burdens on the world's most vulnerable countries. There may be increased danger of violent conflicts and wars within and between the states. So everything in this is hypothesis. Everything in this is maybe, might be, could be. So for that, you're going to now take the entire world's economy of every nation and put it in the hands of a few bureaucrats in Brussels, the world's leading repository of child molestation? This is unbelievable to me. So Al Gore gets it with a group of Marxist bureaucrats. and he's an environmentalist politician. He's not a scientist. He's a showman, for God's sakes. So that, now they're giving a Nobel Prize now for being a showman? Who's next, Bono? A Nobel Prize for Con Man of the Year? Now, are there errors in Al Gore's hypothesis? Yeah, hello, lots of them. In fact, a truck driver in Britain was so pissed off that his children were forced to watch An Inconvenient Lie in his school in England that he sued the schools in England. And the High Court ruled that teachers in Britain who show their students Al Gore's Oscar-winning movie called An Inconvenient Lie must draw attention to inaccuracies in the movie or run afoul of a law that bans the promotion of partisan politics at school. So in other words, they say that the children now have to be told by the teachers that the documentary promotes partisan political views. You hear? And then they say teachers must also help pupils examine the scientific evidence critically rather than simply accepting what is said at face value and point out where Gore's view may be inaccurate or departs from that of mainstream scientific opinion. And they show you that the scenario painted by Al Gore is total rubbish. And teachers are told that they're not required to be neutral. They have to be scientific. They have to be scientific. So where does the documentary Inconvenient Lie deceive people? I'll give you a few examples. One of the film's assertions is that polar bears are drowning. Now, most people out there have heard that the polar bears are drowning because the ice is melting. And Al Gore put this in the movie, and he said that polar bears are drowning because they have to swim long distances to find ice. However, they have to teach in England that there was no evidence to support this claim. The study cited by Al Gore said only that four polar bears had been found drowned after a storm. So based on four polar bears, every Yenta from Los Angeles to Boca Raton to New York and to Minnesota is crying for the polar bears on the way to the Botox shot. The judge also picked up on Gore's claims involving Hurricane Katrina, Mount Kilimanjaro's melting snow, the drying up of Africa's Lake Chad, threats to the Gulf Stream, and we don't mean his Gulf Stream, CO2's role in temperature rises that ended previous ice ages, loss of species, and evacuation of Pacific Islanders due to sea level rise. You hear? So An Inconvenient Lie is just that. And now in England, this truck driver who sued is a gigantic hero. The ruling was the result of a legal case brought by Stuart Dimmock, a truck driver and father of two who accused the British government of, quote, brainwashing students by promoting the documentary and wanted it banned from schools in England. Dimmock, who was awarded two-thirds of legal costs, said he regarded the judgment as very good, although he still hopes the government will pull the film altogether. He said, as a parent, I find it perplexing that despite agreeing that the film was riddled with errors and exaggerations, the court failed to issue an outright ban on its use in the classroom. Perhaps the government will now do the honorable thing and bin it. Now, this is a truck driver in England who has more brains than Tony Blair and the current leadership. Let's go to New York City, WOR. Rob, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Mike, nice to speak with you. I have a million things I'd love to say to you. First, I'd like to credit you with helping me become a more critical thinker. So that's a very positive thing. I love your show. But one thing that I find interesting is I have no love for Al Gore, and I agree that there's a lot of political agenda with his particular movie. But I've been a little surprised at your personal vehemence about this global warming issue, which, you know, maybe the science isn't totally perfect, although everything I've read suggests that every credible scientist in the world agrees that, for example, our problem...
Well, hold on. Let's stop right there. You've only read the popular literature. You are not a scientist yourself, are you?
It's true. No, I'm not.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you admitted that, because everything you've read on it comes from the mainstream media, which is oriented towards the Al Gore Armageddon scenario, Rob. But if you actually read the literature of climatologists, the literature of people who study these things, you will find that not all of them, in fact, it's about 50-50 on this issue. I can recommend a good book on the subject if you'd like. Would you like to hear of a book that may help you with this?
I'd appreciate that, but I'd like to just get one more thing in.
Well, no, you see already your mind is made up. You don't want to be confused with the facts. I'll read you the book. It's called Unstoppable Global Warming, every 1,500 years by S. Fred Singer and Dennis Avery. And it was published last year. It says why we're warming, why it's not very dangerous, and why we can't stop it anyway. It's a new book that shows that global warming is a natural occurrence that happens on a cycle of about every 1,500 years, and it is supported by in-depth scientific evidence. Wouldn't you think that you'd like to read such a book?
I certainly will pick that up, and I appreciate the recommendation.
Well, I mean, it's filled with scientific references. It's not based upon Al Gore's hype.
I'm glad there are people like you pointing that out. My question to you was really a different one, Mike. My question really is that it appears to me that our American-driven lifestyle, which I love as much as the next guy, is irresponsible in the world over, not just us. Our human lifestyle is irresponsible in the pollution damage, a lot of which is related issue to the global warming. And that's why I was surprised that you take such a vehement stance, although I understand what you're saying from a scientific point.
Well, because what you're saying is emotional, it's not scientific. But let's back up for a minute together, Rob. I have probably done a fair share to stop the degradation of rainforests, for example, in my life. I don't talk about it, but between the years 1968 and well up into the mid-80s, I was a plant collector in the South Pacific, and I've done a fair share to let us say, do the right thing with regard to environmental issues. So I have good credits on this. Yet having spent a lot of years as a botanist prior to becoming a PhD nutritionist and having published extensively in botany, which has a great relationship to the Earth's climate in the sense that plants are directly related to climate. I don't have to tell you that, obviously. Certain plants can only grow in certain environments. So I'm very sensitive to where plants can grow, what environments they grow in, and what pollution does to them. Having said that, I've come to the conclusion that America today is probably the cleanest nation on Earth, proportionate to its size. If you look at our factories, if you look at our energy generation plants, they're the cleanest in the world. You want to worry about pollution? Go to China. You want to worry about pollution? Go to Russia and all the countries of the ex-Soviet Union. They're spewing the most phenomenal filth into the airs, waters, and places you could ever imagine. And that's part of my worry, which is that this kind of hysteria promoted by the United Nations and by Al Gore is going to attack not the Chinese government, not the Russian government, which are the two greatest polluters on the planet, but the United States, which is the cleanest nation on the planet. It's an attempt to hamstring our economy and put it in the hands of some supranational organization in Europe. That's why George Bush suddenly supported Al Gore's victory, because all Bush has been working for is a new world order, one world government. So this fits perfectly. It's a hand in a glove for him. Turn over more power to a group of bureaucrats who can tell us whether to turn the water on or off, like we're living in Poland in the 1950s.
Well, Michael, I'd love to make my way to San Francisco and invite you out for a beer sometime. You're very interesting.
Well,
man,
you can invite me along. You get online with the 10 million others who want to take me for a beer. But the book is called Unstoppable Global Warming, Every 1,500 Years by Singer and Avery. If you really want to look at this and judge for yourself and not believe me or Al Gore, read this. This is a 1,500-year climate cycle that we're talking about that rules our Earth. It's a 1,500-year climate cycle proven beyond a reasonable doubt that we're going through one of the cycles and that the greenhouse theory is a complete fraud. I'll be right back.
Savage.
What are the stories? What are you going to talk about, Michael? The overt dictatorship of Hugo Chavez. Now that clown, that South American football-headed clown, wants to do away with alcohol in Venezuela. He's on a moral crusade. The dictator of Venezuela is on a moral crusade. As you well know, usually moralists of this nature are as corrupt as they come. He now is a monk. He's had a lot of time with the Muslims, particularly the Hitler of our time. The anti-Semite who God should kill any moment. If God was good, God would eliminate the earth from that Hitler from Iran and all of his mullahs at the same time with a cruise missile into their beards and into their soup. So he visits South America. South America, a land with beautiful people. And the Hitler convinces Hugo Chavez that there should be no whiskey imports in Venezuela. He wants no beer in Venezuela. On top of that all, he wants ice cream eliminated in Venezuela because it's not good for the health of the Venezuelans. This is unbelievable to me, but that's an example of what happens with absolute dictatorship or overt dictatorship. Now, I'm going to talk today on the Savage Nation about dictatorships, both overt and covert. We know about the overt dictatorships of Hugo Chavez, but what I'm really concerned about is here in America is the covert dictatorship that is emerging in the Democrat Party primarily. For example, we have the covert dictatorship of Henry Waxman and the Democrats. Henry Waxman, I affectionately call Nostrilman, because most of you don't know one politician from another, but he's easy to recognize. He has the snout of a stuck pig. And I don't know why he has the snout of a stuck pig, but he has the snout of a stuck pig. He looks as though he's been snorting around in the wrong places, and his nostrils have been permanently enhanced, both in dimensions and in capacity. Henry Waxman wants to monitor opposition media. What I find interesting is that Henry Waxman has called for transcripts of Rush Limbaugh and others, but he's avoided Michael Savage, and I don't know whether to consider that a compliment or an insult. I'm not sure yet. But nevertheless, he is definitely on the road to a covert dictatorship. What he cannot win through the vote, he will do by fiat and by harassment. And so Democrats, wherever you turn, are moving towards increasing anti-democratic tendencies. The overt dictatorship of Hugo Chavez, the covert dictatorship of the Democrats. Democrat demagogue. New York governor gives licenses to illegal aliens by executive order. Now, I want to ask you something. Why is it that the minute a Democrat achieves power, they go for absolute power? Is it because he was absolutely corrupt before he achieved absolute power? Or is it that his quest for absolute power will yield absolute corruption? Spitzer is the New York governor who wants to give driver's licenses to non-citizens. They are illegal aliens. The governor has done the undoable. He has said drop dead to everybody in New York State. He said drop dead to the legislature. And he said, I am now God, and I don't know anything about absolute power corrupts. I don't know anything about power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. All I know is I'm God, and I'll do what I want. He's breaking federal law. He should be arrested. U.S. Marshals should go in and put handcuffs on Elliot Spitzer and take him out and give him the perp walk. That's my opinion. Spitzer spits on America. Question, why do you really oppose driver's licenses for illegals? The fact of the matter is, the apologists for the illegal aliens, those who benefit from the drug trade, those who benefit from the various and sundry trades that the illegal aliens are in, claim that there will be greater security if you give licenses to illegal aliens. It's the same old argument we heard about, let's say, homosexuals and their nightclubs and their behavior, which is that unless you legalize bathhouses, you will drive it underground. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it never should have come out of the underground. The sewer is now overflowing around America. I've heard that argument every time the illegitimate want to either legalize or justify some of the most disgusting illegal behavior on earth. They tell you, well, it'll reduce the crime if you legalize. Of course it will. Why don't you just make homicide legal? Because that'll reduce the incidence of homicide. It won't be illegal anymore. And homicidal maniacs won't be criminals. Just legalize everything. Spitzer's plan for immigrant driver's licenses finds support, says Pinchy Sulzberger of the Old York Times. So he digs up some turncoats who says that we will actually be better off if illegal aliens are given licenses, you see. Now, I don't know their reasoning, but they say that they want people to be in the system because that's how you find them. That's according to a woman named Margaret Stock, who's shockingly an associate professor at West Point, who also works for the Army as an immigration lawyer. Now, how could she in the world argue that granting licenses, driver's licenses, to illegal aliens will put people in the system, and that's going to make it easier to find them? Let me ask you something, you moron, Mrs. Stock, Dr. Stock, whatever you are. What is going to prevent the illegal alien from getting multiple driver's licenses with multiple identities? The fact of the matter is it's going to increase insecurity in the country, not decrease it. As you well know, you can virtually have passports made up. Fake social security cards can be bought for $25 to $50. They are going to have multiple identities. But she goes on to say that, I find it disturbing that people who claim to be law and order types want to let hundreds of thousands of people run around the country without any oversight when there's a war going on. Well, Margaret, baby, there's another solution other than legalizing illegals, and that is to deport them from the United States of America, along with their apologists. We should get the buses running. We should use all of the RVs that were bought for Katrina that are no longer being used, and we should run a line of them from Albany to Quetzalcoatl in Mexico. And we should fill them with illegal aliens. We should have a gigantic train running south from Albany to Mexico City of all of the RVs that were bought by the Republicans after Katrina that were never used, and put them to good use. No, my friend, you don't reward criminality by making it legal. What you do is you make it even more illegal and you make the consequences even worse for the lawbreaker. So, Governor Spitzer, I doubt that you're listening to the Savage Nation because a man like you wouldn't listen to anybody, let alone critics. You are a criminal. You should be arrested. You're no better than a common criminal. In fact, you're far worse than a common criminal. You're not only breaking the law by aiding and abetting illegal aliens, and by the way, New York state law is very clear on this. It requires a social security card or other form of certifiable identity to get a driver's license, and you're saying you're against New York state law and you are the governor of the state of New York? You, my friend, are mistaken if you think the people are going to buy this. But then, of course, you think you're above the people. All your life, you've had a silver spoon in your mouth, Spitzer. You had a very wealthy father who greased the skids for you, and now you think you basically can spit on the American people by first spitting on the people of New York. Question: should Spitzer be punished? Should Governor Spitzer be arrested for violating federal law? Should all federal funds to be halted into New York State until the program is stopped?